The FAA suspends opposite direction operations. Florida Air Museum's president is looking for work. And the FAA may slap American Airlines with a record fine. This is Aero News for Wednesday, August 8, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The near collision which happened when airplanes departing from and landing at KDCA in Washington, D.C. last week were inadvertently placed on a collision course has prompted the FAA to temporarily suspend opposite direction operations at commercial airports, pending the development of new procedures. The announcement came in a memo to Acting Administrator Michael Huerta, sent Tuesday by Chief Operating Officer David Grizzle. In the memo, Grizzle said that there is no standard protocol in place specifically for opposite direction operations, which is believed contributed to the miscommunication between TRACON and the tower at DCA. The memo says in part, quote, "We expect to have these detailed procedures in place across the system within a month, and sooner than that at locations that have frequent demand for opposite direction operations. In the interim, we will only use this type of operation in an emergency situation," end quote. The FAA is working with the NATCA to determine what kind of training will be needed to facilitate the new procedures. The FAA is also coordinating with the NTSB in an investigation of the incident. Yet another Lakeland fly-in official has been shown the door. Florida Air Museum President John Burton has resigned his position following a vote by the Sun and Fun Board about a month ago to eliminate the job. Sun and Fun President John Leanhouts has assumed Burton's former duties at the museum. Despite his controversial leadership of the faltering event, the separation was described as amicable by both Burton and Sun and Fun Chairman Bob Knight. Burton did say he would be looking for meaningful employment in the aviation field, either in Central Florida, along the I-4 corridor, or elsewhere in the country. Knight told the Ledger newspaper that the board wants the museum to focus more on education. Its operating hours may also be cut, he said. Burton described the move as a business decision by the board. He said he hopes the board will have continued success with its new direction, saying, quote, "We have worked too hard to wish anything less than continued success," end quote, he told the newspaper. The FAA may be looking at a record fine against American Airlines, according to documents filed in AMR Corp's bankruptcy proceedings. If it does so, it would be the largest fine levied against a carrier. USA Today relays a report appearing in the Wall Street Journal, which indicates that the potential fine is tied to previously unreported probes into alleged maintenance and safety violations by the main carrier and its affiliates. The FAA is apparently concerned about American's overall maintenance system and its management. Bloomberg News reports that the FAA emailed a statement in which it said its goal was to be sure the government was paid along with the other creditors in the bankruptcy proceedings. The Wall Street Journal article indicates that the fines include $156.5 million for maintenance issues dating back to 2007 and $24.2 million stemming from a 2008 problem with wiring around the airline's MD-80 fleet, which the agency says were improperly repaired. A spokesperson for American Airlines said the company would not comment other than to acknowledge the claims filed by the FAA. No official penalty has been announced. After such an announcement is made, the airline typically has 30 days to formally respond, and negotiations over the actual amount paid can really take years. Horizon Air President Glenn Johnson apologized to a customer on Facebook Monday after the man's trip to visit his daughter was interrupted, and a fellow traveler recounted the experience on the social media site. After the man missed his flight on Friday, he flew on to see his daughter on Saturday. The passenger, who suffers from late-stage Parkinson's disease, was not offered the kind of assistance by airline personnel that at least one other passenger thought they should have been. That person then posted an account of the incident on his Facebook page, which began a cycle of negative publicity for the airline. Johnson wrote in his Facebook post and apology, quote, "First and foremost, we've determined that we could and should have handled this better, and I apologize to our passenger on behalf of all of us at Horizon Air and Alaska Airlines. This experience has reminded us of the importance of assisting passengers with disabilities and making sure every one of them receives the special care they may need. The information we gathered during this review will certainly improve our efforts going forward," end quote. As part of its review of the incident, Alaska Airlines refunded the passenger's initial ticket, provided a complimentary round-trip flight for his trip, and offered a second round-trip ticket for him to visit his daughter again at a later date. Horizon Air operates regional flights on behalf of Alaska Airlines. NBAA membership recently topped 9,000 companies, the organization announced on Monday, marking a new record that reflects a growth rate of 25% in recent years. NBAA was established in 1947 with 19 charter members. Today, the association represents a diverse composite of 9,103 companies of all sizes all across the United States, which have in common a reliance on business aviation to be more efficient and productive. Over the years, NBAA has promoted a host of initiatives that support business aviation, including improvements to airways and airports, better weather reporting services, expansion of communications and air navigation facilities, higher standards for airport services, equitable tax rulings for business aircraft operations, and better air traffic control procedures, among other priorities. NBAA has also worked to defeat initiatives that would have an adverse impact on the industry, including proposals for aviation user fees. In making the announcement, NBAA President and CEO Ed Boland said, quote, "We are delighted that companies that rely on business aviation continue to find value in the support for the industry NBAA provides. In the years to come, we look forward to counting more companies among our members and supporting their use of business aviation to meet their long-term goals," end quote. When Aero News continues, a town hall meeting about helos. Virginia Tech is now jet-powered. From Sporty's hot dogs to Balloon Fiesta's breakfast burritos.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News for Wednesday, August the 8th continues now. I'm Glenn Moyer. About 150 people turned out Monday night for a meeting held by FAA representatives in Sherman Oaks, California, to let the agency know their views about helicopter operations in the area. The people attending the meeting came from all over the greater Los Angeles area, and the majority were upset about what they perceive as low-flying helos. Among them were a few representatives of news organizations and others who use helicopters in their daily businesses. The San Fernando Valley Business Journal reports that one reporter pilot with 35 years experience in the business, Chuck Street from KTLA and KISS FM, said to the best of his knowledge, any time a news helicopter has been asked to increase its altitude because of a noise complaint, it has never been ignored. Many of the complaints stemmed from news coverage of the closure of a major freeway in the LA area. Many residents complained that voluntary noise abatement procedures were not followed by at least some of the pilots. One board member of the Sherman Oaks Homeowners Association said, quote, "We need enforceable legal restrictions right now," end quote. The FAA was represented by FAA Regional Administrator Bill Wythcomb and Elizabeth Ray, Vice President in Mission Support Services from the agency's Washington, D.C. office. It was held at the request of Congressman Howard Berman, who has introduced legislation to create guidelines for helicopter operations that is co-sponsored by Congressman Brad Sherman and Adam Schiff, all Democrats, which represent districts in the Los Angeles area. Rolls-Royce is donating a Trent 1000 jet engine to Virginia Tech as the centerpiece of its new signature engineering building, which will help to inspire the next generation of high-tech engineers. Construction workers recently positioned the Trent 1000 into the foyer of the signature engineering building, where it will hang suspended 15 feet above the floor. The building is being constructed around the engine, which will remain in a protective cover until the structure opens in the spring of 2014. Rolls-Royce plans to outfit the lobby of the building with interactive kiosks containing information on engine design and advanced manufacturing to inform and excite students about careers in engineering. A man from Long Island, New York, has been arrested for allegedly flying his Cessna 172 too low near a high school in Belmore, New York, resulting in a charge of reckless endangerment. The pilot, Mark Capus, is accused of flying the plane at an altitude of 200 to 400 feet AGL and making steep turns near Kennedy High School on June the 17th. The Associated Press reports that Capus was identified by ATC personnel after he landed the plane. He was arrested by local police and FAA officials at his home on Saturday. He faces a single charge of reckless endangerment. About the only good news for Capus, he might be the first to take advantage of the new Pilot's Bill of Rights. And now for our seemingly daily culinary report. Yesterday, we focused on the free hot dogs at Sporty's, but today the news is from Albuquerque, home of the International Balloon Fiesta. A representative for 19 of the food vendors for the fiesta says that the new vendor manager, a company called Ovations, has asked that vendors pony up 30% of their profits for the privilege of selling at the event rather than their usual fee. The representative, Pete Donnelly, told television station KOB in Albuquerque that the vendors offered to increase the flat fee by 15%, but that offer was rejected. While Donnelly said that as many as 12 vendors were pulling out and the New Mexico flavor of the event would be lost, media representatives for the Balloon Fiesta said that they were only aware of one vendor who had pulled out of the show. They said that based on revenue figures provided by the vendor since 1996, about half would see no increase in payments under the new formula. They said the change was needed because of increases in cost for such things as electricity, propane tank rental, and other overhead since the last contract adjustment back in 2006. Well, for those who've never been there, the concessions at Balloon Fiesta are unlike anything anywhere else. Oh yeah, there's the usual burgers and dogs and nachos and even fried Twinkies and Wisconsin cheese curds. I threw that in for the Oshkosh crowd. But the real standouts are the New Mexico originals, like the Indian fry bread and the original breakfast burritos, and everything offered with your choice of green or red chili. There's really nothing like a cold October morning at Balloon Fiesta with a bowl of green chili stew to warm your insides, just as the balloons and the sunrise begin to warm the outside. And as I'll be there for the 22nd consecutive year in October, I hope the dispute gets settled, because it's not easy to pack red and green chili to go. That's our culinary corner for the day, and a wrap on this AeroCast. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks, as always, for listening, and you're now cleared for departure.